Sportscast, July 10th, 2019. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all our channels, Periscope, YouTube, iTunes. And if you're in iTunes, please leave a rating and review. It will help us out tremendously. And visit us on thesportscast.net for the latest. And I got to sneeze. No, I feel it coming on. No. Anyways, obviously, NBA free agency just happened, but sports still continues. Major League Baseball had their All-Star game this past week. Yesterday was the game, which I don't know who won. And we got Wimbledon going. And, of course, we got a few things in college football. And to join us to have a little quick update, his summer debut, Ty Turner, welcome back.
What's up, dude?
I thought I would have you until August, but you want to come on to talk about Wimbledon.
Wimbledon, British Open's next week.
That's right. Okay, let's talk about Wimbledon.
College football camp opens in 2 weeks.
2 weeks, that's right. Urban Meyer's been criticized again by another player.
Yeah.
Which is not new. Okay, Wimbledon, what's going on? Djokovic is having a good tournament so far? Give us a recap.
Hey, hold on 1 second.
It's okay. Ty is babysitting today. He is a stay-at-home dad.
No, I'm not. I hate when people say that. I am not a stay-at-home dad. That's not an accurate statement. I am a
de facto.
No, I have two jobs. I have two jobs, but I do watch my kids a lot.
He does. He works at nighttime. And I'm not sure what he does.
No,
I
don't.
I'm kidding.
Are you just like literally making stuff up right now?
This is a comedy show as well, by the way.
It must be a comedy show. No, I do not. I'm a professional model. So I do jobs when they come up. So, like, I had a job yesterday. It's all over the place. I've actually worked quite a bit this year. You know, 4 or 5 jobs a month sometimes. And then I also work 3 days a week during the day from about noon to 6 as a day program supervisor for someone with autism.
That's awesome.
But I am not a stay-at-home dad. That is not an accurate statement.
Have you ever gotten a comment from a random person says, you must be a model?
I don't keep track of it. I have no idea. But I am. I do model. So I model. Like I said, it depends. But, I mean, recently I've been actually working quite a bit. I've been probably getting about 1 to 2 jobs a week. And I've also had to travel to, like, Virginia and North Carolina and Atlanta for some jobs here in the last couple of months. So it's actually been pretty busy this year.
But typically, you say, like, the big modeling jobs happen in the big cities.
Yeah, to a certain extent. But I've worked, even living in Minneapolis, I probably will average 30 to 40, in the 30 to 40 jobs a year range. So
it's not bad.
Do the math. It's probably about 3-4 jobs. The bigger, but I've booked good jobs all lived out in Minnesota. I've booked a BO campaign. I booked a campaign for, Audi? Or is it? It was one of those European cars. A Toyota Prius. There you go. I booked jobs for ads for Walmart. I booked ads for Jockey, for Kohl's. So even living out here, I've booked jobs that are pretty good.
Yeah, and if you were in Chicago, you probably had more jobs.
I don't know. I don't know.
We don't know. Okay. Well, anyway.
Why are you concluding this stuff? You already have these conclusions. What are you concluding?
Well, I think you told me one time. Well, yeah, I think, I go to Chicago a lot for jobs. I don't know.
I go to Chicago a lot, but that doesn't mean I book. I mean, maybe I book a few more, but then I book jobs here in Minneapolis. I probably, and sometimes I book a lot of the bigger jobs around here because there's not a lot of models. Whereas if I lived in Chicago or New York, there is more jobs and there is bigger jobs, but there is a lot more male models.
True.
So you're competing against a lot more people. Whereas in Minneapolis, even, like, I book jobs sometimes because I don't have any competition. So I really wouldn't make that much more. Because I know I have friends who live in L.A. I have friends who live in New York. I have friends who live in Miami. And they don't work that much more than me. And I live in Minnesota paying way less the cost of living is way less and a lot less stress. So, yeah, it really doesn't matter.
You only do like the TV commercial stuff?
Did you actually think I was a stay-at-home dad?
Well, I mean, part-time. I mean, I was exaggerating.
Oh, no. And it's not babysitting. That's another thing. You don't babysit your kid.
You discipline.
You watch your kid. Ken discipline him, then I mean, good. But you watch your kid. You babysit someone else's kids, or you babysit random kids. When they use the term men babysit, like, you don't babysit your own kid. That's your kid.
Yeah, you don't.
You're raising them.
So. You hire a babysitter to babysit your kids.
Yeah, I hardly ever do that. So, yeah, and then like I said, 3 days a week I work a job as a day program supervisor for someone with autism. So, yeah, I'm definitely not a stay-at-home dad.
Now, back to modeling. When you model, do you just do the TV commercials, or do you do like the walk the platform type of thing? Go to fashion shows?
No, I don't. I've probably done runway once in a great while, but no, the jobs that pay good. I do a lot of print. I wouldn't say I do a ton of commercials. I do some commercials, but I do mostly print.
Okay. Newspapers. Print campaigns. Interesting. Okay.
Interesting. Well, not necessarily a newspaper. No, a lot, mostly, I would say most of print is online now.
I bet. Oh, yeah, online. That's right.
I wouldn't say,
Google Ads.
I wouldn't even say magazine. Yeah, I'd say most print. I mean, there is some magazine. There is some newspaper very rarely, but most of it's online. So most of my work you would find on websites.
Interesting. Anyways, to get back into sports, Wimbledon, right now Federer's leading against Nishikori, 9-7, I believe. How do you view this tournament so far?
No. Federer lost the first set, and he is up in the second set. He's ahead 5-1 second set, so he's trying to even it out. So right now, Nishikori won 6-4 first set, and then second set 5-1 Federer, with Federer serving. Federer's probably going to win this one. It's going to be set apiece going into the third set. So a little more difficult match than Federer probably wants to have. Djokovic played earlier. He won in straight sets. And Nadal will be playing after. Well, Nadal's actually probably starting here. He's going to be starting here probably in the next few minutes. So.
Yeah, and this.
So far.
Yeah, quarterfinals.
The big three have been really good. They have only lost two. Federer's lost two sets. And Djokovic and Nadal only lost one set each in their. I think this is 1, 2, 3. They played five matches. Well, five matches. Djokovic has finished. Federer and Nadal are on their fifth match, and so far they've only lost between the three of them four sets. So they've been pretty dominant. Federer's having a little bit of a go here in the quarterfinals against Nishikori. I think he gets through. I don't see Nadal having much of a problem with Query. And then you have Nadal versus Federer in the semifinals. Two of the best players to ever play the game. And then Djokovic is going to play Batiste Agat. I think that's how you say it.
I see D. Goffin.
He beat D. Goffin.
Oh, my bad.
He just beat D. Goffin. Yeah. David Goffin. He plays Baguette, like I said. I don't know how to say his name. It's R. Batista Agut. You don't know how to say his name more. You're Spanish.
Oh, he's Spanish?
He's from Spain.
Okay.
I think he's Spanish.
I got to double check. I got to see.
That's the Spanish flag, right? Yeah, I believe. I'm looking at the thing right now.
Look at the bracket here.
And actually, Batista Agut has beaten. He's Spanish.
Yeah, he is. Batista Agut.
Yeah. But he has beaten Novak the last two times they played on
really?
Clay.
So he
not on clay, on hardwood, on hard court. So he's actually beaten Novak the last two times. But that being said, Novak's playing pretty good. I mean, I obviously he's my favorite player. So I saw him play today. He's playing pretty good. He's returning amazing. He's serving pretty well. So. The last two matches, he was really, like, pretty sharp. He blew those guys both pretty much off the court. So I don't think Novak loses his semifinal match. I think it'll be Nadal versus Federer. I'm leaning a little more Nadal. I think Nadal's playing a little better. Federer is, while he's still probably the you know, he felt arguably considered the greatest ever and probably definitely the best ever in Wimbledon. I just think he's maybe a step behind Nadal and Djokovic right now. So I would lean Nadal in the semis, and I think it's going to be a Nadal-Djokovic final.
That's going to be a good one happens.
We'll see. We'll see. It could be Federer versus Djokovic. So we'll see.
But Djokovic historically does well in Wimbledon.
I mean, yeah, he's won 4 Wimbledon. Yeah, I mean, no one's done better than the Federer's won 8. So,
that's quite.
So the best is Federer. But I think right now I would favor Djokovic. And Nadal never. He's won 2 Wimbledon. He hasn't done very good in the last few years. He made the semifinals last year. But he hasn't been that great over the last 5-6 years. But he's super healthy right now. He's playing extremely well. He looks very good. So far, I've seen him play the last 2 days, and he looks really good right now. So I think it's going to be Nadal versus Djokovic, but it'll be interesting if it's Nadal-Federer semifinal. If that's a super long match, I think that will really hurt. Like, let's say it's a 5-setter, which could be, and Djokovic goes out and wins his semifinal in 3 sets. The fact that he's not had to be tired at all. He's basically just had pretty easy matches. And if they have to play a 5-setter, that would really be a negative for Federer and Nadal going against Djokovic in the final. So
it should be a quite good Wimbledon this year.
Yep.
Corey Gauff beat Venus Williams. What'd you think about that matchup?
I to be honest, I don't follow the women.
Women's tennis, interesting.
I don't, yeah. I can make up an answer, but I don't want to because I don't. Good for her.
Do you watch the doubles?
I don't. No, I pretty much follow men's singles.
Men's singles, interesting. Yeah, David Goffin.
Yeah, when you have 3 kids, you have to really prioritize what you watch. I love to watch everything, but.
You know, you're the only guy in the sports cast to watch Wimbledon.
I'm the only guy that, like, I'm very specific. Like, it seems like, I don't know if the other guys have more time in their hands, or they seem to cover more vast, probably a range of sports, because you guys talked about basketball a lot and stuff. But I'm very, like, college football, tennis, men's singles, specifically men's singles, golf, and then... NFL. I do watch some NFL and cover some NFL, and then some boxing here and there. But
yeah,
especially since I have my kids are getting older, I have to do a lot of events. I have to do a lot of different activities with them. It's getting kind of hard to, and I'm having another job.
Yes, that's news.
In 2 months.
So congratulations.
It's getting very hard. Like, I have to be very specific. I can't be all over the place.
So that means for sure no NBA. That's for sure.
Oh, I'm not. Yeah, you can count me out of the NBA. I'm not gonna give, like, you know how I do, like, if you're like, yeah, I mean, I don't, I like, even like Stephen A. Smith, he does it for a living, but you could tell he has his hats in too many fields, and some things he doesn't know what he's talking about.
True.
Like, sometimes his NFL is terrible because he's obviously probably covering too many other sports, and I just think it. You know what? If your time is limited. Just go hard for, like, a couple sports and know a lot about it. Like, college football, I can talk all day about college football. But, yeah, when it comes to other sports.
Yeah. I mean, I watch the Wimbledon final for sure every year. Can't beat it.
Well, Sandy, you should have good knowledge in all of them. You don't have kids. You're not married.
True.
So,
which I do, actually.
Don't give me that you have a full-time job. I mean, I have 2 jobs. Like, believe me, if I had no kids and wasn't married, I could cover every sport.
A lot of married people tell me that.
I'd be covering badminton. Because it is. It's a game changer having kids because it takes up so much time.
Yeah. If you're married with no kids, I mean, yes, you have more time.
Yeah. Actually, that's true. If you're married with no kids, you still probably could cover every sport. The fact that you're on a daily basis, like, I even feel bad right now because I kind of had to put my kids on devices because I'm on here. But, yeah, pretty freaking difficult to get. Yeah,
exactly.
Having kids is an absolute game changer for especially for men.
Exactly. College football, ready?
Yep.
Auburn quarterback.
Do a little British Open because the
that's right.
The Open.
What do you expect from that tournament?
Well, it's the last major of the year.
That's right.
Tiger, you know, Tiger should be. Can he win another major?
I hope
He didn't do any warm up events up to this tournament. And the British Open's a tough play. You know, it's a tough course in the sense that it's just you have to be very accurate. What makes the British Open different than some of the other ones is, you know, PGA Championship and the U.S. Open, you have the real long courses. The Masters is kind of a mix, but it's a fixed course that those guys have played, like, over and over. In the the Open, it used to be the British Open, it's now called the Open, it's in England, so it's a time change. Remember, it's 6 hours time difference. The weather's not very good. Over in the England, Ireland, Scotland areas, the weather can be really bad.
Misty.
And the courses are very difficult. Like, it's easy to miss the fairways. You're going to have to do a lot of flop shots. And it's not like, okay, for instance, Brooke Koepke has obviously been one of the best golfers. I don't think he wins the British Open. It's not the kind of course, you can't long ball it. If you long ball it, you could just find yourself in the weeds all the time. And it just won't do you any good. I don't think it's a great course for Dustin Johnson. The guys who have won it recently is like Jordan Spieth, Rory McIlroy, Henrik Stenson, Louis Oosthuizen, however you say that, Darren Clark, Francisco Molinari. A lot of Europeans do good because remember,
yep,
they're used to that time because they live over there. And also, they're a little more used to those courses because they played. That's where they started playing, was over in those kind of courses. So I'd always say that a European guy has a pretty good chance of winning it, a South African European. I would say of the Americans, Tiger Woods won it three times. He played the course pretty well.
Wow.
But at the same time, and his game is not such a long game. He's a little more of an accurate hitter. I mean, he was leading last year in the fourth round. He had a lead in the final round. You could. Now, he didn't do any warm-up tournaments. That's not great. And we'll just see. And time difference and all that. Woods could win it. He could win it. It's a winnable course for him. He doesn't have to crank the ball a million yards. So I would kind of lean Rory, maybe Spieth, maybe Molinari, Stenson, and then, you know, put Woods in there, maybe even Mickelson. You could possibly. That's kind of where I'm leaning. If I had to take someone right now, I don't know. Maybe Rory.
Yeah, CBS Sportsline has Brooks Koepke to win it. Roy,
they don't know what they're talking about.
They're top four.
And I like Koepke. I like Koepke.
Yeah, I like him. He's cool.
They obviously don't understand the course.
Brooks Koepka, Roy McIlroy, Dustin Johnson, John Rahm, and Tiger Woods at fifth.
Rahm could be. He's a little more of an accurate hitter. I don't love Johnson on that course either. The long ballers who really get ahead of the shots and drop their strokes down, like the Koepkas, the Dustin Johnsons, the Gary Woodlands, I don't love them in the British Open. I don't.
Francisco Molinari, he's doing pretty good lately.
Oh, and he's the defending champion. He won it last year. And he's a European guy. I like him. Yeah, he's gonna be up there. He's top five for sure, I think, in my opinion.
Well, the Open Championship.
I'm a goal predict right now. I think the top five is Molinari, Rory, Jordan Spieth, actually, and I'll do maybe even Bryce Chamboa, who played very well at the tournament the other day. And then, you know, I always go Tiger. I'm going to go Tiger in the top five. I don't know if he does or not, but whatever.
You know, it's interesting because of all the golf tournaments, I follow the Open a little bit more closer than the other ones. I don't know why.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's probably because
that's
there's
fun.
Yeah, because, like, you know, there's not many sports going on at the same time, so that's probably why.
Yeah, that's true.
You know,
you got Wimbledon final this week, and then you got the Open next week, and then you really don't have much, but then, you know, that fall camp for football is opening in 2 weeks.
That's right, which we're heading to it right now. Big news yesterday, Auburn quarterback Malik Willis is transferring to Liberty. How much of an impact will that be for Liberty?
I mean, it's a good pickup by Liberty. He wasn't going to play at Auburn. He was going to have to play week one against the Ducks. But, yeah, I think he'll give himself a chance at Liberty.
Hugh Freeze is definitely making some moves. Obviously, the connections he knows. I mean, how many wins do you think Liberty will get next year?
I really don't know. I'd have to look at their schedule, man.
Yeah.
I think they're going to be hold on. Let me look at their schedule. While we're on the phone, schedule.
I'll pull that up, too.
Liberty Flames. Yeah, they play. Oh, Syracuse is tough. I don't think they win that one. I mean, Louisiana Lafayette. I don't know exactly what they have. Buffalo, Hampton, New Mexico, New Mexico State, Maine, Rutgers is going to be a tough game for them. UMass, BYU is a tough game for them. Virginia is a tough game for them. They definitely have some tough games on here. I mean, anytime they play any of the Power 5 kind of teams, like like Rutgers, Syracuse, and Virginia, I mean, I would say that they probably don't win those games.
It's automatic loss.
You never know. Now the Louisiana Lafayette, the Hamptons, the Maine, the UMass, like those games they can win. I don't totally know, but he last cycle he brought in 7 3-stars. They had only had like 5 combined the last 5 years before that. So he brought in more 3-stars than they had in like 5 years combined. So they're, and then Malik Willis, the transfer from Auburn. I mean, they're definitely going to have more talent. So hopefully they're 6-6 last year. Hopefully maybe like 7-5, 8-4. But who knows? Pull up a couple upsets, they might be 9-3. So,
how is Oregon doing?
Good. I mean, fall camp starts here in 2 weeks. All the guys are getting acclimated. I think not hearing much about everyone that was assignee enrolled. They all got in past the clearinghouse. They haven't had really many transfers out. I think they have to, because they had 86 guys and you have to have 85 guys on your roster. So one guy's going to not be on the roster. I don't know who it is. But they look like they're going to come in close to a full 85 guys on the roster. I mean, last year they had 72 scholarship guys on roster. So that's a plus 13. So that's really impressive. And that's not even including the fact that they're going to have over 30 blue chip guys, 10 top 100, former top 100, just a lot more talented team in general. And then all their best players came back on the offensive line, Justin Herbert and Troy Dye. So, yeah, I mean, it looks as if they're going to come in the preseason polls. Most things I see, they're either going to be right around number 10 or right outside. So I'd say from number 10 to number 13.
Wow.
So they're going to be right around the top 10, maybe just outside of, which is good. I mean, that's awesome. I mean, I really think that that puts them in a position to, if they can have a good season, they can do the world is their oyster, as you can say.
Yeah.
How about the Tua versus Herbert? Like, that's the real storyline this year.
Is it?
Who gets drafted first?
There was another quarterback in discussion as well. No, there wasn't. Just two.
Jake Fromm. No, there's not. I mean, there's not. Jake Fromm is like he's no. He's good. Don't get me wrong. Like Jake Fromm is a terrific player. But he's not. He's unless something really happens. He's like either Herbert or Tua play terrible or Fromm plays way above his abilities. It's just, he's quite a bit behind them right now when it comes to how the NFL. Whereas when it comes to Tua and Herbert, it's pretty close. Like, you know, right when the draft happened, I felt as if most people were saying, sorry, I had this thing on it.
It's okay.
Died. But right when the draft happened, they had, like, you know, that NFL mock draft 2020, you know, way too early. Almost all of them had Tua ahead. But I guess a lot of scouts and a lot of noise out there, you've seen a lot of reports that people are kind of liking Herbert a little better right now. And some of the more recent mock drafts by, like, Walter Football and Albert Breer of SI.com, it had now is kind of leaning for Herbert being the first quarterback taken. So it's really close. I think what it really is Tua's obviously put up the great numbers. He's been very consistent. But I think some of the question marks about Tua is he gets hurt a lot. He gets hurt a lot. And he did not look great against great defenses. And is it because of his injuries, or is it because he's maybe not quite a little bit physically limited? You know, he's shorter. He's doesn't have an amazing arm. He's more relies on accuracy and anticipation and skill than he does over like raw talent. And I think that's kind of the question to go along with his just durability. Herbert is, I mean, he's amazing size, 6. He's an amazing arm. He's also very athletic. I think the question about him has been consistency. You know, sometimes he just isn't consistent. He can really misfire on balls, and he also kind of gets down, and it seems to affect him mentally. So I think the mental stuff and the consistency with Herbert, and then it's the durability and maybe the overall upside of Tua, that's the question mark. But I think it's going to be pretty close.
And also, Chase Young, defensive end of Ohio State, is also up there in the projections.
Well, he'll be up there. Like when I'm talking right now, I'm talking specifically quarterback.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, yeah, there's going to be other guys up there. You're going to have Chase Young. You got A.J. Espasana, who's a defensive end for Iowa. You have Jerry Jeudy, who's a wide receiver for Alabama. You have Andrew Thomas, tackle for Georgia. You have Walter Little, tackle. You have other guys who are going to compete to be at the top of the draft. I'm specifically talking about top quarterback.
Yeah, quarterback, which is interchangeable. So, I mean, obviously way early, but Herbert and Tua are definitely the favorites.
Yeah, I mean, I would go as far as unless they just have terrible seasons, which, I mean, Tua, I find it very hard. If he gets injured again, that could cause a problem.
Yeah.
Like, if he ends up being injured again and he can't play, then you might have a problem. Like, because he's small. He's already 6 foot tall. That's a negative. If you're battling injuries at 6 foot, that's not good. So if he has injuries, then you could see some problems with people wanting to take a flyer on him because of that. And Herbert would be if he's just super inconsistent again. Let's say he has another like couple of games like he did last year against Arizona and San Jose State where he was just not very good. If he then goes out and like just plays a couple of games where he's just bad, he's 45% completion percentage, couple interceptions, and people are just like he's inconsistent. So,
especially dropping him. You know, especially this year when there's no Jalen Hurts, so you know they can't interchange quarterback that easy.
Are you talking about Alabama?
Yeah, Alabama.
Oh, you mean if he's injured?
Yeah, if he's injured, I mean they'll go with Matt. Was it Matt Brock?
Yeah, I mean, there's really nothing you can do if a guy's injured; he can't play.
Yeah,
I'm talking more about. I'm not talking about Alabama as a team. I'm talking more about Tua being drafted early next year.
That is the question.
So, like, I mean, if he just has injuries, people are gonna question taking him as high because he gets injured a lot, and he's already battling perception a little bit because he's not a bigger guy. So that and Herbert will be his consistency. Or if he gets injured too, that would not be a great look. But I believe next year you're going to see one of those two guys, both those guys get drafted early. And depending on what team is drafting, there's a good chance they could be number one and number two pick.
And according to Sports Illustrated, they think the Dolphins will have the first pick.
Oh, they do?
Yeah.
That's who they think the worst team is?
Yeah.
Yeah, the Dolphins might not for sure take a quarterback.
I hope they do. I mean, unless Josh Rosen does well.
Yeah. I mean, it depends. If Josh Rosen looks really bad again and has a second year in a row where he just doesn't look good, then I think they do.
Yeah.
But if he looks fairly good, they traded for him.
I think they'll get someone else.
I think they'll get someone else. I mean, there's some teams that you know if they're drafting number one that they're going to take a quarterback. Like Cincinnati Bengals are going to take a quarterback next year if they probably get in position. Detroit Lions, if they have a bad enough year, probably would be a team to take a quarterback. I don't know. I'm trying to think of other
Tampa
teams
Bay.
Off the top of my head. Oh, Oakland Raiders.
Yeah.
Tampa Bay, the Titans. Any of those teams you'd probably look at Jacksonville.
Well,
quarterback. But
you think Nick Foles won't do well?
Well, if he's okay, let's say they have another bad year. I mean, they'll draft quarterback even if he sits behind Foles for a little bit.
That's right. Yeah, this is.
I mean,
yeah,
Foles has still been in the league. He's an older quarterback. So, but then if Arizona has the number one pick next year, they're not going to take quarterback. I mean, if they do, you need to fire the GM, the coach, everyone.
Yeah.
I mean, if Arizona has the number one pick, they're probably going to take offensive tackle or defensive end. So that'd be a Chase Young or a Andrew Thomas, let's say. Or maybe Jerry Jeudy. Maybe get a wide receiver for Kyler Murray. So it depends. It really depends on who has the first pick next year.
Which I hope is the Dolphins. But if they do well...
Well, if it's the Dolphins, it's pretty self-explanatory. If the Dolphins have the worst record in the league and they have the number one pick, that means Josh Rosen did not have a good year, which means, yes, they will draft a quarterback.
Yeah, it's automatic.
So then it would be Tua or Justin. Who do you want? Who would you want? As of today, who would you want, Tua or Herbert?
Tua.
If you haven't.
As of today.
Why?
Well, he's shown it. Herbert, I haven't seen him prove himself completely. Tua has won a championship. That's the experience. Yes, the injuries is a factor. I do agree with it, so I have to see another season. But as of today, I'll pick Tua.
Okay.
But, hey, Herbert.
No, that's fair.
Benefit of the fact. I mean, he could be the next Peyton Manning.
I mean, physically, yeah. I'd be torn. I mean, I'm obviously a Duck fan. I'm not a Bama fan at all. But I see the argument for Tua.
Yeah.
I see the argument for Tua. I just I see an argument for Herbert. I don't know. It'd be kind of...
I mean, hey, they're both win-wins. I'll take them both.
It's kind of 50-50 right now. Yeah.
Anyways, today's the NFL.
If Tua gets injured next year, then it's probably not going to be good. It's not going to be good for him. If Herbert is inconsistent, especially in any kind of big game, then you're probably going to see some questions for him.
Yeah. You know, there's season to it's just one season ahead just to see who proves it, you know, and that's just key.
I don't think the other guys, Fromm's good, Easton has some talent, Costello has some talent, he's a pretty good player, Jordan Love, but I don't think any of them are they're more like the guys last year. They would be drafted high in a weak NFL draft for quarterbacks. I just don't see them being high draft picks with guys like Tua and Herbert. See what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly.
But we'll see.
We'll see what happens. We'll have our college football preview show in August with Justin Riley and Tyler Turner, and we'll have a full hour-long show, and we'll talk about who's going to do well, who we'll predict who will be in the top four, top ten, and see what happens, but it's going to be very
exciting.
I wonder
who Riley's going to take to win the national title.
Well, it's easier for him to say it, you know, to be honest, being an Alabama fan. But now with, their new coaches, I don't know. I just don't – I'm not really confident
with them.
They have a lot of
talent. They do have a lot of talent, but they have a Clemson problem. That's all I'm going
to
say.
Clemson is a team to beat. Anyways.
Oh, for sure. They won the Natty last year.
Real quick, any expectations for today's NFL supplemental draft?
No, I haven't even thought of it.
Okay.
No, not. Hopefully it goes well.
Yeah, I'm reading here. Jalen Thompson from Washington State is available. Marcus Sims from West Virginia. Shaheem Cullen.
I knew Jalen Thompson was.
Yeah.
I do know Jalen Thompson. He's a pretty good player.
You got Marcus Sims, wide receiver, West Virginia.
I don't know him. I know Jalen Thompson. He's pretty good. He ended up being academically ineligible, so he had to go to the NFL.
Shaheem Cullen from Syracuse. Syracuse linebacker.
Yeah, I don't know him either.
Brian Perry, defensive back, St. Francis. That's a small school.
Don't know him.
And Devonair Clarendon, tight end from Northland Community College. Probably not.
I think he'll be the guy. I mean, I don't know the other guys, so maybe I'm not being fair, but Jalen Thompson's a pretty good player. Exactly. I mean, I think he would have been drafted. So we'll see if he gets picked up.
Yeah, it's a very low quality players, I guess, this draft. That's pretty much what it is.
Well, Jalen Thompson's a pretty good player. Like I said, he would have been a middle round guy. So I could see him get picked up.
Anyways, anything else before we head into predictions?
No, just Wimbledon, British this weekend final, then British Open, and then just get ready for football.
Yeah, football is coming up. Basketball free agency is done, and now gearing up towards towards NFL and college football. A lot of things. A lot of the fans are pretty excited about it. predictions for Wimbledon. Oh man, I got that.
Who do I think is going to win it?
Yeah, who's going to win?
Who do I think is going to? I'm going Novak.
Yeah,
I think it's. I predict Novak Nadal final.
Yeah. I like Federer, but Novak seems like a little bit more confident, younger.
You like Federer versus? Oh, you like Federer? Or you think?
I mean, I'm a Federer fan.
Everyone is.
You know, it was interesting. Yeah,
but who do you think is going to win it?
Probably Novak. I have more confidence in Novak.
Okay, so you think it's Novak versus who?
Probably Nadal. Nadal's on fire.
Oh, okay, so you think it's Nadal?
Yeah.
Beats Federer too.
Absolutely, okay. Absolutely.
Yeah, I think so, but I think it could. Who knows?
Yeah, we'll see what happens. Tennis is tennis, you know. It's 50-50 for everyone.
Well, it's 50-50, but not really. It's basically going to be, I mean, since 2000, what is it? It's like, I think in the last 5 years, Novak, Federer, and Nadal have won every major except for like two or something, three or something. Like, it's pretty crazy. So,
yeah. Anyways.
Kind of going to be one of those three.
Yeah. Random question, can people read your handwriting?
Oh, not great. No.
Yeah, me either. Tyler, how can people reach you online to talk to you a little bit about college football?
Tyler Turner, MPLS.
Tyler Turner, MPLS. And also TurnerCast.
Oh, TurnerCast. No, that's the one they need to hit up.
Yeah, yep. The other one is... Turner. You don't want to hit there. I'm kidding.
Yeah, I don't want to... That's my political page.
Yeah, that's... It can get very debatable.
Dude, if you want to see my political viewpoints.
Yeah, go ahead.
So do you want to talk about politics? I'm just kidding. I know you don't like
I don't talk about politics. I don't want to – anyways.
Why don't you?
Well,
why don't you?
I don't know. It's so controversial in social media. I mean, you get pulled out. You get reprimanded. And, like, I don't want to get into that mess.
Oh, really? So that's why you don't do it? You think you're going
to
get censored?
I'm trying to protect my reputation.
Oh, but do you ever let social media know which way you lean?
It might be posted on Facebook, but
that doesn't really count because is your
comment.
Facebook public or private?
It's pretty public.
Oh, okay. Well, guys, if you want to see how he leans, go to
Facebook.com. If they can find me, but there's a lot of Santiago Leons globally, especially in Spain. Anyways, you could reach us at thesportscast.net, at thesportscast on Twitter, and we'll have Tyler on throughout the next couple of weeks with Wimbledon and, of course, the Open, golf, and, of course, we'll have the college football preview in August. Should be very exciting. Justin's really excited about it. Anyways, Tyler, I appreciate you coming on to the Sportscast.
Bye, dude.